Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Drop your shoulders, take a breath, tune into how you feel, because it's time to stretch. I'm Sinead O'Moore, and this season is here because of the support of Vitabiotics, my season 4 sponsor. From pregnant care to well kid, well woman and well man, they have a product range to support us throughout every stretch of life. Okay, I have a bonus episode for you. I've been so outspoken on this topic across national media, I couldn't not sit down and talk to Elaine Dunn, the chairperson of the Federation of Early Childhood Providers, on this podcast. Why? Because the childcare sector is stretched to breaking point, and there will be no winners here. Later this month, there is a planned strike on September 26th, 27th and 28th. In October, they will strike for 4 days. In December, they will strike for 5. And right now, our Minister for Children, Roderick O'Gorman, is publicly telling media that it is unwarranted, a word that I personally find belittling, disrespectful and obstinate. The solution needs to be brave, not just expensive, and it needs leadership that accepts the reality of the current situation and joins the dots about how an accessible, flexible, affordable, quality childcare sector is essential if this country, this economy, is to have a female workforce. It takes a village. Well, the village got privatised, the village is childcare, and the village is burning down. Leo, Micheál, Eamon, send help and send it fast.
Elaine, thank you for joining me for this very extra special episode of Stretch Marks podcast, because as parents, we are hearing in the news cycles a lot about creche closures, strikes, lack of places, lack of funding, childcare providers having to close their doors. It is a very frightening time. I think we can all agree that within the childcare sector, it has been incredibly difficult for many, 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 many years. But it seems to be right now at absolute crisis point. You are the chairperson of the Federation who is in charge of supporting this industry, rallying for it, speaking on its behalf. And you are doing Trojan work, let me tell you. I don't know how you're still standing after the last few weeks. But please help me and help our audience. Please help us understand what is going on.
We're all at this time, many of us, small, medium and some of the large services, tied into a fee freeze dating back to 2017 instead of 2021 when core funding was introduced. We made Minister O'Gorman and his department very aware that there was an issue for those services and we needed to be allowed to bring our fees up to the rate of 2017. And we weren't allowed. So these are the services that are closing down. These are the services that are financially really, really unviable. And these are the ones that we're seeing and we're fighting for today to keep them open, because they're in rural and urban Ireland and you don't want to see those services closing down. And the only choice that parents will be left with are will be the large services that are available in like the likes of Dublin, Galway, Cork, Roscommon, I think there's a few of the larger services there as well, Donegal, and that will be the choice for parents. And many of them have changed their service type to you're only allowed to have full-time hours. That's it. You cannot get part-time. You cannot get etching. So parental choice has been removed.
Putting it simply, the providers in this industry cannot sustain the costs they must spend to provide this service safely and adequately with the right staffing numbers and the right safeguards in place. They cannot sustain that business on the current fee agreement with parents and the funding from government. And what you need, what you're seeking is basically a change in the rules from government in order to increase those fees. But also, parents cannot afford greater fees. So even if that's to happen, what we know is that we have an incredibly expensive childcare system in Ireland. And increasing those fees, I imagine, is unpopular for our minister, who doesn't want to upset the voting public. Possibly that's part of the reason why he's saying that it is not necessary to release you from this agreement. But the very true fact is that there is a population of parents who have no more to give.
No, absolutely. And we do understand that. And we've said this to Minister Gorman. He tied us into a fee freeze dating back to 2017. We are seeing parents struggling, but there has been a huge amount with the National Childhood Scheme and the Universal going up last year. That has taken a lot of fees off parents. And I don't know whether your children are in a childcare facility now, but you can see that a lot of parents are getting a lot of reductions through that. And we're hoping that the Universal will rise again this year with budget. I'm hoping that it'll go up to maybe €2 or €2.50 per child, which will then reduce the fees again. But if Minister Gorman is making all these promises to parents and he's reducing the cost to parents and putting us out of business, then we have a problem. And that's why we're trying, when we sent out a letter nationally through the Federation of Early Childhood around the country, it's gone viral now at this stage, explaining all of the issues for us on the ground. Like, if we can't have a viable business, we cannot keep quality up. We cannot increase the staff wages. Staff are leaving the sector. Providers are leaving the sector now. I had a meeting last night with a group from Tipperary. And on that group, there were five providers crying they just can't do it anymore. I mean, mental health and anxiety disorders are huge for the providers at the moment because we're under so much pressure. Like, we're running government schemes and we're not being paid to run those schemes. We are topping up the government schemes on for some providers on their husband's wages. Providers are not getting taken home a wage. A lot of them. On the radio there today, a provider sent in an email and she said that she will not get a wage. She opened up her ECC service in September this year and she will not get any kind of wage until after Christmas because she has so much debt from last year that she's carrying. So that can't continue. We can't continue to fund government schemes for government and not be remunerated properly.
And so who do you need the remuneration from? I suppose, like, somebody has to pay for this. It is a very, very important service. And I mean that not just because not only does it enable an entire generation of parents to themselves go to work, but it is so important for our children to be left in a trusted and safe environment. Absolutely. I want the staff to be remunerated properly. I want there to be adequate environments and safeguards and love poured into these environments so that my children feel as though they are being nurtured when not in my care. And I think that most parents feel that way. There is a deep concern that as the sector erodes, as staffing levels erode, that the stress and anxiety that you described will impact the experience that our children have. And we all want solutions, but where is the funding needed? Who is going to pay for it? I really feel like, yes, the parents, certainly the government are trying to reduce some of the costs. They are still incredibly high. And I'm hearing constantly about families having to delay, you know, having that second child until the first is in ECCE in order to relieve some of the cost. Like, it's incredibly pressurized because, yes, the cost may be coming down slightly when it comes to our childcare system, but going up everywhere else in our life. So where I am at is, as a parent that is incredibly respectful and I'm so grateful for the service that I avail of, and I want it to thrive. I'm also very empathetic to the parental community that feels like we have no more to give. So what does the government, what are you asking for them? What is the solution to this?
Okay, can I just come back to you on one thing? Parents, and I really hope that they don't put off having a second child, because the National Childhood Scheme is there and it is very good for parents to avail of it. And it does give a lot of reductions on their fees. So that's the one thing that I would ask parents to look out for in budget, is how much Minister Gorman announces is going to that scheme, because that's the one that's going to help the parents. But while it's helping the parents, again, it's not helping us. We're the ones that are struggling. So what we've asked Minister Gorman to do is for those small, wonderful early childhood care and education services to up that funding to 100 euros a week. And that will take away the pressure from the provider. It will help them. It definitely will. And it will keep the doors open. But if that doesn't happen, if we don't see something coming to those providers, they're the ones we're going to see completely gone within the next year to 18 months. And we've seen that in, we had a document put together, which it's from the frontline providers, and it was done outside of the remit of the Federation. And it's very clear as they are the types of services we're going to lose nationally. And full day carers, small and mediums, are going to be forced to pull out of core funding and up their fees to parents. Now, that is not something we want to do. So that's why we've asked parents to join us on the streets of Dublin on the 26th of this month, to support us, to support them, and to support the children, to ensure, like at the end of the day, it's children they're at, that we need to support the children here. They have a right to be educated. They have a right to come into our services. And we have a right to be allowed to have a high quality service. But if government keep pulling back on us, quality will drop, because we don't have the money. Like every year, every provider will replace jigsaws and all different equipment that has got broken throughout the year. You spend June and July and August replacing all of those equipment. But if you don't have the money coming in, you can't do it. So the solutions that, I'll read some of the solutions that we have put out in some of our documents. So one was 100 euros raised in the ECHA capitation.
From what? Just let me, because you know the numbers inside out. I don't. Okay. So from what to what? So you want to get to 100, but what are you getting at the moment?
69.
Okay.
So we want it raised to 100 euros and index linked every year from here on in.
Yeah, as inflation changes.
As inflation changes. We want the fee freeze lifted so that we can bring our fees up to date. Because if you're trapped in the 2017, and as I've said, none of us, I don't know anything that's at the same price as it was in 2017. And some of the service providers were lucky to up their fees up to 2021 rates. But we didn't do it. Small and mediums and some of the large ones didn't do it because we didn't want it to impact the parents. They were under enough pressure. And we were very aware of the pressures of our parents. And we communicate with our parents all the time on what's going on here. We want an apprenticeship model to be brought into our sector to allow us to train the staff as they're doing their courses. They're on the ground. They would never, ever be left unsupervised in a room with any child. But at least they're getting hands-on training. Like, it just makes so much sense to bring back those type of courses that were there many years ago, because you cannot bring somebody that's just done a degree and expect them to come in and work in a service that they don't have the experience. We all need experienced staff on the ground.
And that would relieve some of the staffing shortages. Now, of course, I know we're not classing them as full staff or expecting them to perform the role of full staff, but an extra body in the room is an extra body in the room.
That's an extra body of support. Yeah. A support in the room is so important. I mean, I have support workers in my service and they're not part of RACE, but my goodness, they bring so much to the classroom. They take the pressure off the staff and they work really well, and they help to get the artwork ready or help to feed the children when it's lunchtime and help the children to go to the bathroom. You know, there's things like that, and it really helps to support us in the rooms. The extension on the AIM, the access and inclusion model, is a big one, because if you have a child in a full day care service that has some kind of needs, and they have the support from 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock because they're on the ECHA scheme, those needs don't go away at 12 o'clock to 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening. So we need those supports expanded throughout the service for the whole day. And it takes an awful lot of pressure off us on the ground, and it gives huge supports to that child, which will really bring them on to ensure that they go into mainstream school. So it's so important that we have those full supports. And I know Minister Gorman did mention that on the radio this morning, that he was looking for something. But anything, we have to remember, anything that comes in the budget this year doesn't come in until September next year. Mm-hmm. So we're still going to be in trouble till next September unless government decide to give us the funding coming in January or immediately for these children. It'd be great. We would like, so a lot of the small ECHE services, they would have run optional extras for the extra hour. And they would have probably charged about 3, 4, or 5 euros for that. It could have been baking, it could have been arts and crafts, it could have been going on a little trip to the library, different things like that, that there is a little cost. And that's all been pulled away from us. So we would love those optional extras back, because that's part of the quality within the service. And it's so important that the children get that. And we did look at, we would like government also to support the third person in the room for the ECC services, because we only get funding for 2 staff in that room, and we would like them to support the wages of the third support worker within that room again. Because if you've got 22 children in the room and a staff member has to go and change a nappy or a child has had an accident, you're leaving one staff member with 19 children in the room. If 2 still knock on the door and you open the door, you're completely out of ratio. And it's not right. It brings down quality, the well-being and safety of the child. It has not been met if you have to leave the room. It's as simple as that. So, and we've been saying this for many years, that they worked out those ratios and we didn't agree with them from day one, 2 is to 22, because you've got children who are 2 years and 9 months within that remit. And yet, if they're in the full daycare service, children from 2 years, 9 months must be in the room with 1 adult to 6 children. Yet we're allowed to have them 1 to 11 in an ECHE service. It doesn't make any sense.
Do you think that the problems are stemming from it being this blend of it not really being fully privatised and it not really being fully public? Like, the government has so much control around how you deliver your business. And yet you are still a for-profit. You're not public. You're still trying to run a business as a business, but you're doing so under the regulations of the government.
No, absolutely. It's under government policy. And like, we can't do projections for the next year because we're trying to work out the funding and understanding what we're getting. We don't get any remittance advice from the Department of Children. Money enters my bank every Friday. I have no idea what it's for. So I have to go through all of my books, at my accounts on the Monday morning, and go through absolutely everything, work out exactly what funding I've gotten, make sure I haven't been paid too much, because at the end of the year, if you're paid too much, they recoup it and you think you've got more in the bank. So we can't project for our business whatsoever, nor do we have any good accountant would tell you, you must have 3 months wages in your bank account at all times. We don't. We're lucky if we have a month. And that's how we're running our businesses at the moment, where we're on the wire all the time. And you shouldn't be on the wire all the time when you're running a business. So it is down to over regulated from government and government policy. And I think it's because they really genuinely don't understand. The expert group that's within the Department of Children, it's called the new board. And there's no business person on that. There's no economics person on that. There's no provider representative on that. They're all academics, and wonderful that they're all academics. But like, how do you know, or how can you tell me or any other provider how to run their businesses, and that the model that they have put out there for us as business people, it isn't working? So where do we go?
As academics, are they informing you around kind of best practice for early childhood education?
So you have documents out there like Nurturing Skills, and Nurturing Skills is a wonderful document. And I wish it was true to what's going on the ground. But like, it's a document of words on the paper, it's black and white, but it's not what's going on the ground. And nobody, when Minister Gorman and his department say they are consulting with us, we go and we give them the issues. And that's the consultation, but nothing changes. I mean, we rose a huge issue around staffing crisis last January on the stakeholders forum, and a whole group of us came together and we asked for an emergency meeting to discuss the staffing crisis. And we still today have not had that emergency meeting. So a lot of services are either closing down rooms or they're cutting capacity in their services, which is something I've done. I have 15 children in one service out of 25, and I have 26 out of 31 in the other service because I can't get staff. You know, so you'll see services are doing that. They're closing rooms. And if a staff member goes out sick, you're cutting the numbers again because you can't get relief staff.
And yet the view of our minister, which has been publicly shared, publicly said in media, is that the issues that you have raised and the decision to strike is unwarranted.
Absolutely. He keeps using that word. He did that last year. In November last year, we had a big protest hitting the streets, and he asked us to postpone it and come in for a meeting. And we did postpone it, and we went in for a meeting, and there was no solutions put on the table to us whatsoever. So we will not be calling off this protest. But what I will ask is that any parents listening in on this today, that they would come into the streets of Dublin and support us on the day, because we really need your support, because this is about the provider, the staff, the parents and the child. It's about all of us coming together, because that's the only way the government are going to listen, is to have that support from the parents as well.
Why do you feel like he won't, or they won't, or somebody in power will not engage, will not listen?
Well, actually, we have been doing county by county meetings over the last kind of 10 weeks, and we've huge support from TDs and local councillors now. We've absolutely huge. There's in each county council, they're putting a motion to government for us to have a meeting with our Taoiseach, the Tánaiste, our minister, the Pascal Donoghue, and Michael McGrath as well. So they are listening. I mean, they're definitely listening, and they're going out and they're meeting services. They're speaking to parents as well. And there's a huge understanding of where we are coming from now compared to last year when we were protesting.
But why is there no change coming then? What's your concern?
My concern is that, you know, we're doing these closures, and these closures will continue until government do something, unfortunately. Like, you've got 3 days this month. We have got another 4 days earmarked for next month in October, and there's 5 days in December. So it's going to continue until they do listen, because we don't have a choice. And one of the things that's come in on a lot of the meetings that we've held nationally is that we've no choice. If we don't go out and protest on the streets, we're going to be gone either in 6 months' time or a year anyway. So we've nothing to lose here by going out and taking to the streets at this point. And that is a huge problem for us all.
Do you think that they feel like they've given you enough? Because I'm hearing that as well. I'm hearing lots of, since I came into this role, I have, you know, I have given this sector X amount.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's like, no, they've had their cake, let them figure it out now?
Can I read out something as to where the money goes, so the people will understand, everywhere that's gaining from this, including primary schools? And we've continuously asked Minister O'Gorman to give us a full breakdown of where the 237 million that he keeps quoting, where that's going to in our sector. And we've had every single TD nationally has done this as well for us. And we still have not got the breakdown of that. Budget 2023, 266 million to support, contain implementation of core funding schemes for the first full programme year, September 2021. So with additional funding of 59 million being made available to cover the cost of increased levels of capacity and numbers of graduates in the year. So I want to point out to parents here, so Minister Gorman made that announcement, but what he didn't announce was that he took back 85 million from the small service, so the early childhood care and education services. They would have got extra funding in to support the staff wages and the cost of the business. And that was through, it's called programme support and the higher capitation. So if you had a graduate person in your room, you got extra funding. So he pulled back that 85 million. He shuffled it back into that pot. And then reallocated it and didn't remunerate the small services then again. He left them with nothing. And we fought long and hard for them last year, and we got an extra 4,075 in the pot this year for them. That's 78 euros a week per service. Like, when he's talking in millions, it sounds wonderful.
Mm.
You break it down as to what's coming into the services themselves, it's very little. And we to this day, and I'd love parents to email Minister Gorman and to email Minister Pascal Donoghue and Michael McGrath and ask them, can they have the breakdown of where all of this funding is going and how much of it actually comes into the services? They also worked out a funding model for one size fits all. I've just listed out the types of services in our sector. Not one of us are the same. And the same, you know, the capacity of children you have in each service type is different. So we're totally different. So how can you put on one size fits all in such a complicated sector?
Coughs and colds are a normal part of growing up, but there is nothing that knocks down the house of cards quite like when our kids get sick. I want to drop everything to be with them, but then the juggle and the guilt and the worry and the sleeplessness begins to stretch me until I fray. The relentless kids bug stretch is one I think we all know and probably have the marks to prove it. So my goal is to keep them as well as I possibly can so that as a family we can continue to do as much as we possibly can. The award-winning Well Kid is a carefully balanced range with nutritional support from toddler to tweens, as it is packed with 24 essential vitamins in tasty natural fruit flavours. Well Kid helps you give your family the extra nutritional and immune system support they need, with all 8 B-complex vitamins plus A, C, D and E. There is also Well Kid Omega 3 plus an individual vitamin D supplement. Available in liquid, chewable, pastilles or gummies, this range supports all our fussy eaters and busy adventurers. With 50 years of innovation in nutritional science, Vitabiotics has been pushing boundaries to help our families feel at their very best. With products to suit all stages from preconception, pregnancy, postpartum and family life, including PregnaCare, Well Kid, Well Woman and Well Man, Vitabiotics have created an award-winning range to suit every stretch of family life. Vitabiotics want to look after you through their supplemental range and by supporting this season of Stretch Marks. Food supplements must not replace a varied and balanced diet and a healthy lifestyle, and you should always consult your doctor or pharmacist before using.
Who's most at threat at this stage? Because obviously there are large chains that operate in Ireland.
Yeah.
And then there are some very small local businesses. Who is most at risk right now?
The small ECC services, the part-time services, the school-age services and the small to medium-sized full-day carers, I think, would be at most risk. But I have been talking to some of the larger services and some of them are tied into fee freeze going back to 2014. So I was quite surprised at that. So I think some of them might be in a bit of trouble as well. But I would worry about the whole sector as a whole now at this stage, because it's imploding. And Minister Gorman has just been on national radio saying so much of millions and millions here, millions there, millions everywhere. And where is it?
How does that make you feel when you hear him speak so publicly like that?
I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed that he really doesn't understand the sector. And I'm wondering, who's at fault there? Is it the department themselves? Is it the Assistant Secretary General for not giving the information to our minister? Somebody's at fault somewhere along the line. And it's very disappointing that he's been told, I suppose, that the funding is here and it is working, when we're clearly telling you day in, day out. We've had so much media over the last few weeks and we're clearly stating it's not working. I don't want to be coming out and having to fight so hard to keep my business open and all of the other businesses in this country. I don't want to have to keep coming out. I mean, at the moment, I'm being trolled really, really badly on social media, and it's not very nice, and it's hard to take. And I understand Minister Gorman gets the trolling as well. So he should understand where I am on that. But if the Federation give up and we walk away, there's nobody left here to fight for the child, for the parents, for the provider and for the staff. And that's very worrying. We've gathered our data. One thing Minister Gorman and his department always said to me was, we don't trust your data. So we outsource all of our data now. Mm-hmm. Everything is outsourced. So it's not our data anymore. It's become the data from the company that do our reports for us. Mm-hmm. You know, they analyze it and they do the reports. And it's very common now to see that we're doing that. And I don't want to be coming out with data that they feel is skewed. So, you know, one thing I will say is we have seen skewed data coming from the department. The closure one is a big one. In Fingal, in Dublin alone, 21 services closed in June, and they're all still up in the register. Six services in Minister O'Gorman's own constituency last year closed, and they're still on the register. So there's something wrong somewhere with the numbers that the department are saying.
So they're not accurately reporting the closures and minimizing actually what's happening in the industry. Yeah, are they listening to the parental voice? Because if they were, what they would hear is you cannot get a child. You know, your maternity leave ends at, let's just say, 6 months. Okay, that's when your maternity benefit runs out. That's when most employers are starting to look for you to come back. Of course, there is unpaid leave that parents can avail of. Yeah. However, we know that a lot of people, for financial reasons, must get back to earning. At that 6 month mark, there is not a hope of a parent finding a baby room in Ireland that can accept that child.
No, I do agree with you. A lot of services have stopped taking babies in under the age of one. And that's because we just can't get the staff. And it's not a part of the business, viable part of the business that works.
But yet it doesn't tie in with the reality of what families require. And I suppose what I'm getting at is if we are to find a uniformed solution for both child, parent, provider, government, is there an appetite to really look at the sector, not just keep putting money in, but actually to sit down and reorganize what works, what is a viable system for the reality of modern parents who must work today?
I absolutely agree with you. And I've said this at many meetings now at this point, that they need to go back to basics and start all over again, because the funding isn't working. So if the funding isn't working, they need to meet with parent reps. They need to meet with provider representation, staff representation, and child representation, and go back to the basics and say, OK, we need to all sit down around the table and come up with the solutions. I mean, you should be able to find a creche place for your baby. But unfortunately, we just can't do it anymore. Like the regulations behind the babies is so strict, and it has to be, you know, and we respect that. But sometimes it's over-regulated. I mean, we could have inspectors coming in that pick us up on a pedal bin being broken. I mean, we're meeting the needs of the child. Everything is okay. And you're picking us up on a pedal bin in a corner of a room that probably doesn't even get used. Do you know what I mean? So, I mean, I think tooth and all, I think everybody needs to sit around a table here and come up with reasonable solutions and start at the beginning and let's move forward again. But we can't continue the way we are, because we've gone past crisis point now. And for parents as well, it's gone past crisis point.
You're gone past crisis point, but the crisis is contagious. The crisis is impacting on the careers of so many parents. And we talk about data. I'm not saying that any kind of Instagram research that I'm doing is full data, but it is thousands of women participating. And they are saying that when it comes to the decision as to who is at home with that child for those extended years, whilst they wait for childcare to kick in, it is more than not the mother. Those sectors with high female workforces are also caring sectors. We're looking at teachers. We have a teacher shortage. We're looking at healthcare. We have a healthcare staff shortage. The knock-ons to preventing people from returning to the jobs that they had after they had a baby is right here. This is the problem. This is what is forcing people out of those careers. And yet, is anyone joining the dots when we hit a healthcare crisis this winter, this September, when every principal is standing there saying we do not have enough teachers to fill the roles in schools? Is anyone joining the dots and saying, actually, if we fix the childcare crisis, we can fix every other sector thereafter?
Nobody is joining the dots. And we have said this as well at many meetings. You know, this is it all starts with us. And remember, we're a predominantly women-led sector, 98%. Mm. Our staff are predominantly women-led as well. And so it looks like it's all about the woman, because we're saying if we're not there and we don't open the doors, it's women who are pulled back out of the workforce as well. You know, so it's all women that it's hitting. And we've said this so many times. If this was a male-dominated sector, I don't think this would be going on, Sinead. And that's the truth. And that's just my opinion, by the way, but that's how I feel. And I think for now, we need to all join forces. The mums, the dads, everybody needs to come out on the street on the 26th of September and have your voice heard. We're looking for a parent spokesperson for the day of the protest. So I'm looking for anybody that is willing to come up and speak. Hopefully it'll be you, Sinead. But we do need somebody.
I need to find my voice a bit stronger before that. But
like, we all have to have our voices heard on the 26th of September. We really do. We will be launching a petition over the next 24 hours for parents to sign. And we will need massive signatures on that. Because the last one we did, we got 15,000 parents signing it, and it was ignored by government, absolutely ignored by the Department of Children. So I don't want this one to be ignored. So we need huge numbers of participation on this petition. And it's to keep the services open. It's to look for more funding, you know, to ensure that predominantly women-led sectors can go back to work and not be worrying about childcare.
And it is these predominantly female-led services that are so undervalued and so underpaid.
Yeah.
So underpaid. To expect the staff to sit 4 years of a degree course. And am I right in saying it's about 17,000 euro per annum is what they hope to earn?
I haven't done the sums. You could be right. But the employment regulation order starts at 13 euros and comes up. Now, I have to say, a lot of the small ones and medium ones, we're paying above that. Hmm. I don't know how many of us are, but I know that.
You'd need to, because how can anybody live off that?
You can't. You actually can't. Nobody can. I mean, we're all hit with massive inflation. The cost of living is a huge issue for everybody. And I was talking to one provider yesterday, and like, she's just said she's done. She closed her doors, gave the letter out to parents yesterday. She's gone because she is not taking the wage. She's trying to keep her staff wages in, and she can't even afford to pay her staff because the cost of everything within the service has gone up so high. So look, government really need to sit down around a table with us all and have a very, very honest conversation as to what's going on, why it has happened. We are still at 0.3% GDP. We have not moved. So everybody needs to realise that.
And is the sector willing? Is the sector willing to imagine a new design for this?
I think we've no choice. I think we have to look at the funding. We have to have a new design of funding for sure coming in. We, like, if the core funding has drastically failed in year one for many of us, then there has to be some give from government to sit down and say, okay, I mean, if they pumped more money into the NCS for parents, that's wonderful. That's helping the parents and the child. But they have to look at the cost. So the due diligence for our services and the type of services on the ground has never been done. So they put out the core funding without looking at the cost to the provider and how much the business costs per day to run or per week or per month.
What do you say to people that challenge your request for more funding, that say, listen, you're a business like any other, go sort it out? And I hear that anytime you're on radio, straight away, the texts afterwards are, you're a business, I'm a business, I'm struggling, I don't get to whinge and say, hey, government, give me more. You know, that there can be a rhetoric out there that challenges.
Absolutely. So what I would say to people that have that attitude is, we have a load of case studies done on how core funding has failed services. We have about 25 case studies done. It's probably something we will be releasing in a book in the coming month or so. But you can clearly see where it has failed.
Because
we're the ones that keep the doors open for the economy.
One of the things, obviously, that we've spoken about. So one is this term unwarranted. Two is the statement of how much funding has already been given. And three, still, there's a tone of celebration about this core funding.
Absolutely.
From the government
I heard Minister, I think today, even on the radio, Minister Gorman was delighted with himself as to what he's achieved. And to be fair, he has got the most amount of funding into the sector ever than any other minister. Okay. And that's I really appreciate that. But it's not coming to us on the ground. It's going into different parts of the department also. It's going to the Department of Education, because children up to five can receive these grants. So we have to look at that. Like, he has done the most, and you know, I do respect him for that, but he has to listen to what we're saying. If there's going to be high numbers on the streets on the 26th of September, which I believe there are, then he's going to have to listen and understand that there really is a problem here.
It feels like, though, continuing to just put money and money and money and money isn't.
It's the allocation of the funding that we need to look at. Exactly where it's going, how it's allocated out. You know, when last year Minister Gorman said there's 25% decrease in parental fees, at that time when he said that, he didn't say on average. On average, it works out at between 10 to 15%. It's not 25%. So, you know, the devil is always in the detail with everything that's announced from government and for the funding that's coming through budget. So we all need to remember that. Let's sit back and watch what comes in to the budget for childcare. And hopefully it's a lot more because of these closures, because these closures we have no choice but to continue them until something gives from government, because we will be gone anyway. We've nothing to lose anymore.
How many providers that you are aware of are very close to closure?
Well over 1,000. Well over 1,000 of the small ones, definitely, are really on their knees.
How many providers are there in total? I'm trying to work out.
4,062.
Okay, so about a quarter of all providers.
Yeah.
Are at real, genuine risk of immediate closure, giving parents weeks notice.
Yeah.
Which like I'm seeing when the closure is happening.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you've got 4 weeks notice, and for many, there are simply no other services. Even with that 4,000 open, there are no services. You're pregnant, you put your name down, and you're told, come back to us in 2.5 years. Like,
yeah.
If 1,000 of those services close, there is nowhere for our children to go. A parent must be home. We will be resigning from our positions.
Yeah, look. It's only what we're hearing, because it's the smaller ones that are really taking the biggest hit. I'm not predicting that that's what's going to happen, that those services will close. They just keep saying we can't keep our doors open on a shoestring. Like, if they're running on a shoestring, they have to be able to pay their staff wages, cover their costs, keep quality up, ensure that the children's needs and the health, safety and well-being of the child has been met. You can't do that on a shoestring. And we've had parents come to these services and offer them donations. And through the core funding agreement, you're not allowed to accept those donations. Like, local schools can take donations from parents. They can they have sale of works, they do cake sales, do everything, and they're allowed to take that money to help them keep the schools open. But we are not. Like, we are so micromanaged. It's unbelievable. And it's sad to see. And I have to say, Minister Gorman, like he's saying, minimum closures in the last 5 years, that doesn't make that okay. Any closure is not okay, unless it's somebody retiring.
And usually if it was a viable business model, it'd be passed on to somebody who wanted to continue.
Absolutely. I've got two daughters working for me, and I'm saying to them, go back now and do your level nines, because they're both level 7 and 8. Go back and become primary school teachers, because there's nothing here in this business for you anymore. And I can't believe I'm saying that.
What do you think is going to become of the sector?
If Minister Gorman and the Department of Children and government don't listen this time, I have no idea what's going to come of it. But I think a lot of us will just go, we're done, and we're just going to walk away. You'll see a lot of providers just giving up and saying, we've had enough. Because the stress and strain on the ground and the anxiety on the ground, it's not good for anybody. I don't have 3 months' wages. I have 4 weeks' wages at a time in my bank. That's it. It's month to month. That's how I'm managing. And I don't know. I know that other services are worse off than me even.
There are such things as community creches, which are entirely publicly funded.
Yeah.
Do you believe that perhaps it is in the best interest of the government for facilities like yours to choose to close in order to roll out more community funded ones?
Unfortunately, I wouldn't agree with that at all, because there's an awful lot of community services protesting with us at the end of the month. You look at any sector that has been nationalised, look at the HSE. You know, look at all the public sector where you're looking for services for children and you can't get any. There's a 2-year waiting list. You can't even get to see a public health nurse. They're all publicly run. They're not working.
Do you think there's an appetite in government, though, to have a fully publicly funded, in the same way that we have with schools? Like, do you think that they want to bring early childhood care in under a publicly funded model?
I don't agree with it at all. I don't know. And I've spoken to TDs on this. They don't want the hassle of being the employer. There's no way they want the hassle of everything that's going on within our sector to come to their door. No way.
So they need you.
They need us.
We need you.
Yeah. So there has to be a compromise. There has to be common grounds where we can sit down and go through everything and have a really good, constructive conversation. Not a department or of our minister who's showing consultation, but not really taking on board what we're saying.
Do you think there's going to be an 11th hour phone call where he says, let's meet?
I don't know. I really genuinely don't know. I think it should come from higher above at this point. I think that the phone call needs to come from the Taoiseach or the Tánaiste or both, and Minister Cormann. I think the meeting needs to be had with all of them at this point, because we are at crisis point. Parents are at crisis point. Children are going to lose out on the education, and our staff are struggling with the cost of living as well. And we can't give them any more.
Like, nobody is winning here. You know, usually in this, you can see, okay, somebody is taking advantage here and enjoying the situation, and somebody is the victim in this situation. I've looked at this from so many angles, from so many perspectives, and I cannot see how leaving it as it is a solution for anybody.
No, it's not. It isn't, and it genuinely isn't. But my biggest concern is for the children. Like, and for mums who are pregnant and they're putting their children's names down. Like, I have huge worries for that. I mean, to be under that stress and strain while you're pregnant with a baby, that's not right. Like, nobody should be under that strain. No. Trying to find places, nobody should be under that pressure. And we're under the pressure because we have the waiting lists. And we can't do anything about those waiting lists. We can't expand a business that's unviable.
And it rolls on from that point. It feels like all women want to do is to return to the job that they had before they got pregnant, which apparently is a legal right of ours. However, the system is not there to enable it. No. And more are leaving their careers. And it's not just about these early childcare years. It takes years to regain where you were at within your career. It takes years to regain whether you're going to be back on any kind of pension plan or leadership plan or promotional plan. And all of that is what the government seems to want. They want this highly educated workforce using their skills to drive our economy forward. They want this highly educated workforce in our hospitals, in our schools, in our communities, doing what we all need in order for a society to thrive. It is in nobody's interest to force one parent of every family to have to stay home for an extended period of time if they, one, can't afford it, and one, don't choose it. It is in nobody's benefit to ask a generation of people to go through a degree course, to come out the other side to an employment system that is not paying enough for them to sustain a living wage. They won't do it. You're right. They will bypass it and they will go into teaching.
No, absolutely. And then, like, you're seeing, like, a lot of these wonderful workers within our services, they can't get mortgages.
They can't even afford, when they have children, they can't afford to put their own children into childcare.
Exactly. Like, look, it's a total mess. And, you know, if they can't get mortgages, I got turned down in a mortgage. You know, if we're all getting turned down in mortgages, you know, that's not good. And that's why they leave the sector, because they can go on. We did a report last April on where the staff are going when they leave our services. And one of the biggest ones was they were going to the Department of Education as SNAs. Then the next one was Department of Children, TUSLA, Better Start and PUBL, all department people.
But when you think about it, you would.
Like, of course
they
would.
Look at the benefits there.
Oh, yeah. They can get so much. They get their pension. They get higher wages. They get all of the perks of the job, where we can't give them that. Like, we don't even have that. A lot of us wouldn't have pensions here. So you're just working day to day and hoping that something is going to change in the next budget. And I have to say, it has to change. They don't have a choice here. Government don't have a choice. There's a call of action here to government to step in and do something fast.
But I think it has to be brave. It has to be brave, and it has to be reimagined, and it has to be thought about. It has to be a solution to where we are at today. It cannot be a model that was built 20, 30 years ago that just needs more funding. The structure doesn't work.
No, I agree with you, but I do believe that they're not far off getting it to work if they would just sit down and listen to proposals that we have that will help, and the solutions that we have that will help to support the parents, the child, the provider and the staff. So you need there are solutions there.
You need them to meaningfully listen.
Absolutely.
And not tell you that it's unwarranted.
Look, we'll see how unwarranted it is on the 26th of September.
I just feel it's such
not unwarranted when it's such an insult to many providers here that, you know, are really struggling on the ground to keep business open. And I think it's the same word that was used last year. And I think they'll be upset. And I can tell you, I have 22 WhatsApp groups across the country, and my phone has happened since he said that today. Absolutely happening.
To me, it's highly disrespectful.
Yeah.
It feels like it's trying to diminish your power
and undermine us.
And I'm concerned because it is not the language that you would expect to hear from somebody whose role it is to meaningfully engage, or that has the want or intention to meaningfully engage. And that is where my concern sits. If that is the public message that has been chosen, and we all know how words are chosen wisely, if that is the publicly chosen message to use, my worry is that there isn't an appetite to meaningfully listen.
We shall see, Sinead. We shall see. We have to watch the space and see. I'm hoping that he will, and higher up above him, will want to sit and engage with us and have a conversation around solutions.
I also believe that if he doesn't believe that it is warranted for you and your sector and the people that you represent, I think the government would do anything to acquire more votes. And they do not want to upset this generation of people who are already stretched to capacity. But that is exactly what they are doing. And if they haven't joined those dots, they need to. And perhaps they will when they see the volume of numbers that are out on the streets. And listen, they'll be off work anyway that day.
Come to Dublin and support us on the day, because we're doing this for your children, to ensure that there's places for your children to come to school and to be nurtured and looked after and loved by all of us in the sector. And we are caregivers. That's our job. You know, to care for people. And that's a huge part of our remit. And we want to continue to do that. But it feels like it's been taken away from us on a daily basis.
Are you exhausted?
Absolutely. I'm emotional as well, because I feel if we let down our parents and we let down our children, then that's really hard for us to stomach as caregivers. And I just feel I'm upset, because I'm glad we've done this podcast, but we shouldn't be in this position as women. We should never have to fight for the right to work. And that's what we're doing, fighting for our rights to work and to be respected and to be admired for the jobs that we do on a daily basis with our children and the nation's children, the youngest. Like, we're nurturing them for them to go into primary school, to enjoy the education when they're with us. Okay, for the 2 years they're with us, we get their brains working to go out and go into primary school to enjoy learning. And that nurtures them right through to college to enjoy learning. And that's what we do. And if we're all gone and we're all so exhausted and tired from fighting to survive, that's, you know, it's not okay anymore.
And I've seen it. I have two girls that have been part of a wonderful, beautiful local creche. Since my eldest was 8 months old, they have been a part of our world. And I will tell you, they are my village.
Yeah.
We all still need that village, and the village got privatized. Okay. The village no longer is your neighbors. The village for me is knowing that I have a wonderfully nurturing environment that I bring my children to, and I trust those women implicitly with the care of my children. And I see how happy they are coming out and how developed they are coming out. My six-year-old, her best friends are the people that she met when she was 8 months old, and they are still best friends. It is, you know, my two-year-old comes home every day and she's learned something that I didn't teach her. She is socialized. She is fun. She is happy. But every day I pick her up and I ask in my own mind, like, the work that those people did today is immense. It's amazing. My own children that I love exhaust me. And they're mine. I'm supposed to want to be with them every day.
Like when we're in a classroom with some children and like you laugh, you have really good fun with the children. And that's what life is about when you're a teacher. And it's so important to laugh with the children, enjoy the fun. I mean, we have ducks come into my school every week. So we just hatched eggs recently. And I'm not joking, the fun we have with the children, and they hold the ducks, and it's just amazing. And these are the things that parents, you may not see it from the inside, but when you know your child walks in that door every morning, they're skipping in the door and they're happy and they're going home and they're smiling and we're having fun at the door. That's the best part of for us as teachers. But unfortunately, again, something else that was taken away from us this year was the title of educators, which was a huge insult to all of us. And we're all trained teachers. We are educators. We do educate children from a very young age, from under a year right up. We are educating your children. We are nurturing them and teaching them. And that was taken away, which was one of the biggest insults to all of us. And we respectfully request that back.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You deserve better than this. The industry deserves better than this. Women deserve better than this. I support your strike. I support what you are doing as a person and as a representative of this industry. I would be lost if my creche closed down tomorrow. My income would be gone. My sanity would be gone. My health would be gone. It's not good enough. And it has to change.
And I really appreciate you saying that, because we don't hear that a lot from people. So, sorry, I really appreciate that, because we're tired of fighting for our rights to survive. We really are. All of us.
A few more days to go.
A few more. Another week and a half. G-Day. So thank you, Sinead, for allowing our voices to be heard through your podcast today.
Thank you. No problem. Thank you.
Okay, so what can we do? One, contact your local TDs. Tell them how this is going to impact you. Two, make your employers aware that if government allows this sector to fall, it'll take you and your colleagues down with it. Three, join the march on September 26th in Dublin. Four, make noise. Let government see that we didn't come this far to only come this far. And five, follow Stretchmarks Pod on Instagram, where I'll share more details as I have them.